This morning we looked at the parable of the sower as Jesus spoke it, and this evening we're going to look at the interpretation of the parable. It is one of the two or three that Jesus gives a specific interpretation to, so we know that we cannot possibly misunderstand what Jesus taught in the parable. I think there is one outstanding reason for this is, and that Jesus sets a sort of guidelines on how to interpret parables, and so if we'll follow this guideline that he set forth, we can be a lot more secure in believing that we can properly interpret the parables. But in verse 18, Jesus states, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." That is, listen, and I will explain this to you. First of all, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. He hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not. The word "here" doesn't mean that he grasps or perceives. It simply means that he's informed, that he receives instruction and information. And when he receives this information, he doesn't put it all together so that it forms logical and reasonable and understandable wholes or things that can be understood. And as soon as he refuses to put all this information together and develop a spiritual principle that he's able to see and know and live by, the Bible tells us that the wicked one, of course, that Satan, comes and catches or snatches it away, that which was sown in his heart. It's evidently a rather quick process. It doesn't take a long period of time for this to occur. In the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 12, Luke adds this to the very same parable, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, sometimes we ask ourselves of these four different kinds of souls, which one was saved, which one is just a backslider, or was the first two saved and the last two lost, or whatever. When we talk about personal salvation or being born again, this is the only part of the parable that we can say speaks to personal salvation or being born again. So, the interpretation that Jesus gives is this: that the seed that fell by the wayside was information that was given, and it was heard, that is, the person did receive it in the sense of hearing it with their ears, but it was never acted upon. And because it was never acted upon, then Satan immediately seized upon his opportunity and snatched or quickly overshadowed that information, so that the person who heard it and received it was never converted, was never saved, and therefore it was gone and it did not do what it was intended to do. Then there is the seed that was sown on stony places. And this is simply a place where there is a shallowness of soil. The first place was by the wayside, which is the place of unprepared soil, and so it did not bear fruit. The stony places was simply a place where the soil is very shallow, even though it had been worked or prepared. He that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. You got the same basic words, hear and word, which is the spoken word. So here's a person who receives information, it is given to them audibly, they understand it, and they receive it. Not only do they receive it, which means to take or literally take hold of, but they receive it with delight and gladness. They're overjoyed, literally, to hear the Word of God and to understand the Word of God. But the continuation of his interpretation is this: yet hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Notice, yet hath not root where? In himself. There is no solid character of this person. It's simply saying that the failure is within the person. The failure is not in the seed. It's exactly the same seed that's sown. The failure is not in hearing, because the same message is given and the ears are there to hear the sounds and to understand. And it's the same message. It's not a different message. The flaw is not in the hearing. The flaw is not in the messenger. The flaw is not in the seed. But the flaw is in the shallowness of the soil where the seed fell. He hath not root in himself. You know, many people, when they hear the word of God and they're saved and they're very joyful that they have been converted and they unite with the church, they receive baptism, and they're filled with joy. But then they fall, quote, by the wayside, and they begin to blame the church. Well, the church wasn't exciting enough. The church had too many hypocrites in it. The church was this, or the church was that. And I think what Jesus is saying, I won't. These people to understand the flaw is not in the congregation. The flaw is not in the singing. The flaw is not in the preaching. The flaw is not in the deacons. The flaw isn't in the Sunday school. The flaw is in that person himself. That's where the flaw is, and that's where Jesus puts it. Yet hath not root in himself, but dureth, and that's just a shortened version of enduring. He dureth for a while, for a season, but are for when tribulation, and again that describes a very narrow pass that people passed through as they traveled, and therefore there was a narrowing and a squeezing and a compression, and we would translate it pressure. Now look at it. For when pressure or persecution, And that word means to be hounded or to be pursued as by an enemy, like a fox would be pursued by foxhounds. So when pressure and pursuit of one's enemies or the enemies of God arises, and that simply means it just comes into being, Jesus has taught us that, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, a statement of Paul, shall suffer persecution. And Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Same word that's used here. So this person is saved, and I guess as Brother Bob Archer says, they were gloriously saved as opposed to just being saved. But they're saved, and they're happy, and they're joyous. And yet when they don't bear fruit, it's always someone else's fault. And then when pressure is put upon them and when enemies arise, and you'll notice, it just implies coming, the origin of the thing is just out of the preaching or teaching of the word, because they're involved in the word of God, they are offended. And that means that they stumble. They're not prepared to take the kind of problems that come with being a Christian. I've had people that I think were saved, and people who were baptized, people come into the church, and then some problems arise. And they just quit coming. Preacher, I didn't join the church to have trouble. I didn't join the church to have pressure put on me to do this or to do that, or pressure put on me not to do this or do that. And if at work now, I've noticed that trying to be a Christian, people are beginning not to invite me like they used to at one time to the different things that are happening. And that's exactly what this parable is saying. That when, just out of the nature of things, pressure's put on you, problems arise, it causes these people to be offended, and they quit. They drop out. And the Bible tells us that they are not fruitful because of this. Then the seed among thorns, and this is simply the seed that fell out in the area where there had been no preparation made. There's no plowing. This is the thistles and the crabgrass that grows along the side of the field. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the words. And we got exactly the three same things. Here's a person who hears the word. It's the same word. It's the hearing with the same kind of apparatus with a man's ears. Now, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it become unfruitful. The care of this world has in it the idea of division, the dividing of the mind then, which causes anxious care to arise, and we simply can translate it trouble. So let's look at it. And the trouble of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now the deceitfulness is created by false statements. So I think here we would have to personify riches and give riches a voice. And the voice of riches make a lot of promises. In other words, if you'll listen to what wealth promises you, it promises you all kinds of success and happiness and all the other things that are supposed to go with it. So here's this person who, because of the trouble that comes to them in the world, and because they listen to the false promises of riches, these two things, just the common problems of the world and the promise of what riches will do for them, then this chokes the word. The word choke means to strangle or to suffocate, so we have to give it some kind of life also. That is, the seed has life. And literally, these two things grab this spiritual life by the throat and strangle it down so that it too cannot produce. It has been, but now it becomes unfruitful. Those of you who've done any gardening at all know that if you got your tomato plants here, you got all the weeds and all of the grass around it, that it's not long until the grass gets bigger and the tomato gets weaker, and you may have just a few little tiny ones on it, but you can't grow things that you want to eat in that kind of atmosphere. That is, in the atmosphere of an uncultivated patch of ground. And a Christian cannot produce fruit out in the world in the uncultivated parts of that of our culture and circumstances. Then there's the fourth. There are three things here that we've noticed, and now here's the fourth one in this parable that Jesus spoke. And he that received seed into good ground. And it really, there's not a difference in receiving the seed and hearing in the sense that, well, some heard but some received seed. There's really not, that's not the point. But the seed fell on good ground. And the word good here means well fitted. It's ready. It has in it the idea, not only the idea of fertility, but it has in it the idea of preparation. It's been broken. It's been tilled. It's been smooth. It's been prepared. It's ready for the seed. And I don't think anyone can do this except the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But this person receives it. He hears the word, and notice, he understands it. He puts all of its constituent parts together and forms a whole. He can see it. He can perceive it. He can comprehend it. He understands it. And which also beareth fruit. Now, he's like the man that the seed fell among thorns. He bears fruit. But notice, it's the amount of fruit and the continuation of bearing the fruit that is emphasized here. He beareth fruit. It means to continually bear it, and bringeth forth, which again emphasizes that it is continually going on and is never completed. So this person not only bears fruit, but he is bearing fruit and bringing forth continually. And for every one grain of seed that is sown, 100 are produced. For every one seed that is sown, 60 is produced. Or every one seed that is sown, 30 is produced. The emphasis is on production. And the 100, 60, and 30 has to do with the kind of soil. The 30 bushel or 30 grains is not condemned. You know, for every bushel that's sown, you get 30 bushel. For every bushel that's sown, you get 60 bushel. For every one bushel that's sown, you get 100 bushel. It's not condemning the 60 and the 30 bushel person. It's simply saying that every individual has his capacity of production. Some people are 100 bushel people. Some people are 60 bushel people. Some people are 30 bushel people. And if we live up to the expectations of God and we live up to the ability that we have, then we have done what God wants us to do. This is the interpretation of the parable of the soil. People who hear, people who use what they hear, put it together, act on it, let it act on them. They produce fruit. They're not offended by the problems that arise from being a Christian. They keep on producing fruit. These are the ones that are complimented in the parable. And this is what we, as God's people, ought to seek to be. And that is 100 or 60 or 30 production people. If we do that, there will be a lot of grain to go into our Lord's granary when he comes again. Let's stand together and be dismissed. As we pray, Brother Howard Sawyer, would you dismiss it?